I'm Jeff Hampton, and welcome to the Legacy Builders Podcast. I have helped hundreds of investors protect their assets and maximize cash flow in order to help them create a path to generational wealth. Too often, hardworking high performers find that the structure of their investments not only cause liability, but also create tax issues. And it is my job as a lawyer to ensure that it is never the case. Each week, I will provide the tools, the tips, and the strategies to create maximum wealth in real estate and other investments, as well as interview some of the most successful people that have created their own path to legacy wealth. 10 asset protection myths holding you back. Myth number one, asset protection must be illegal and unethical, right? Look, if you set up your asset protection the right way according to the law, not only is it 100% legal, it's absolutely ethical to protect yourself from some unscrupulous lawyer or bad actor trying to come and take your hard-earned money. But I want you to think of it this way. The law is written very specifically to follow. It's a roadmap. It's a guidebook, just like the tax code is written specifically for you to follow as an investor. If you do what the tax code says, it will pay you off with deductions and exemptions. The law is written the same way when it comes to asset protection strategy. And oh, by the way, good asset protection strategy always stays away from the gray areas and stands firm on court precedent based upon laws they know will protect you. Myth number two. I don't need asset protection because if I'm sued, I'll just transfer my assets away from creditors. You're in for a rude awakening if you believe this myth. The reality of it is there's something known as fraudulent transfer analysis. In other words, if you transfer your assets after you've been sued and you just try to get them out of the way or hide them, the courts will come in and they have what's called clawback provisions where they can pull those assets and those monies back in to satisfy that judgment. Trying to transfer your assets away after you've been sued just does not work. Oh, by the way, don't ever try to title your assets away to your children or to some straw man that's out there, some fake entity or setup. Many times they call those shell companies. Why? Because the courts see right through this. There's something known as a discovery process. And under the discovery, essentially both sides are going to get access to all of the evidence and everything related to who owns what. And when the courts see right through that, you'll lose this advantage. And in fact, you'll lose credibility in court. Good asset protection doesn't hide anything. It does make your assets more private and anonymous in many situations, but you're not hiding the assets. Remember, good asset protection allows you to control the asset, but you no longer own it. The moment you start getting tempted to move your assets away and transfer them to someone else when you're about to get sued, remember that's never the goal here. You always get caught. The main priority is to make sure that you can control everything, but own nothing. Myth number three, I don't need asset protection. I'll just rely on my insurance. Now this is critical. If you're going to own short-term rentals and other high-risk assets, you need to be prepared for the fact that not only is your insurance company going to be sued, but you are going to be sued personally. That means you'll be hauled into court, you would be potentially questioned, you are going to have a hard time being able to get a loan, and you're going to have your name out there as having been involved in an actual lawsuit. By the way, I want to remind you, how do you think insurance companies make money? They make money by denying claims. So you don't want to rest your financial future in the hands of a third party who has every reason in the world to deny your insurance claim and put you in a position where now you are personally liable. Imagine if your insurance company denies the claim and now all of a sudden your personal bank account, your brokerage account, everything that you have in your name that's not protected by the bankruptcy laws, now it's at risk. That's exactly what we're talking about when you don't consider the true benefit to asset protection. Myth number four, I'll just set up a revocable trust. That'll give me asset protection. Stop right there. Revocable trust equals estate planning. It does not equal asset protection. Now there is a place to use a revocable trust in our premier structure at STR Law Guys featuring the Arizona Limited Partnership. So there is a way that it can feature into an asset protection strategy, but by itself, revocable trusts provide absolutely no asset protection. If you're only wanting to rely upon a trust exclusively, there you're going to need an irrevocable trust. But beware, if you're a real estate investor, irrevocable trust could end up causing all kinds of problems with you maintaining those wonderful tax benefits by holding real estate. Myth number five, all LLCs are the same, so I'll set them up wherever I want to and do it however I want to. I hear this one all the time. The reality of it is only a handful of states in the entire country provide you the trifecta of protection that you want for an LLC as it relates to rental property. What are those three things you want? You want privacy, you want charging order protection, and you would like to have single member LLC protection. The problem is almost none of the states that are popular to invest in provide you this protection. So how do you obtain it? Now you start talking about a holding company strategy. If you have a property in a state for which it does not provide you this protection, now you can actually place it in that state's LLC as a single member owned by a holding company in a state that does provide you that protection. Now you are actually protected. Myth number six, I can just put all my rental properties in a single LLC and I would be just as protected as if I put them in separate LLCs. Look, you can do this if you want to, but you're really rolling the dice with all of your rental properties. The reason why is that because if you end up getting sued, if you put five properties in one LLC, everything in that LLC, once it's sued, goes into lockdown. So here's the problem. If you lose the lawsuit, what do you think is going to take place? Now they can actually get a judgment, what's called a charging order, to force the sale of all five properties, all because of one liability event at one location. Additionally, during the lawsuit, you could run into cash flow and operations issues because once you're sued, everything in that LLC goes into lockdown mode, and now you cannot move money around in order to fund the other properties. Why? Because there's something known as a fraudulent transfer analysis, and the courts will not allow you to use money from one property to fund other properties if they're all in the same LLC. Don't do it. Make sure you separate each asset, isolate that property, and segregate the risk. Myth number seven, I can borrow another state's LLC laws to protect my property in a poorly protected state. Nothing could be further from the truth. Let's use an example. Let's say you have a rental property in California, and you know that California's LLC laws are very poor. They don't really protect you much, and they're very plaintiffs friendly. Can you just take your rental property in California, dump it into a Wyoming LLC, and now you're going to obtain the benefit of it? Nope, it doesn't work that way. The problem is if you get sued in California, you'll be hauled in front of a California judge, in front of a California court, and they're going to apply California law. So, how do you protect yourself if you have a California property? The only way around this is you can borrow another state's beneficial laws by using a holding company strategy. I alluded to this before, but there's so many misconceptions about this. You can now put your property into a California single member LLC that is then held by a Wyoming LLC holding company or an Arizona limited partnership holding company. Now you can obtain privacy, you can obtain charging order protection where you could not have obtained it otherwise. Myth number eight, I can quit claim my property into an LLC with no consequences. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Here's the problem. Two-thirds of states have what's called a real estate transfer tax. In other words, if you just move your property from your personal name into an LLC, you're going to end up being taxed. That can run anywhere between 0.1% all the way up to 3% of the value of the property. You don't want that to happen. Number two, you have to watch out for what's known as the due on sale clause. Sometimes if you just quit claim deed the property over into an LLC and it's a conventional loan and you end up having a really low interest rate, we've seen instances where mortgage companies can come in and call your note due or raise your rate up to current market rate. Finally, number three, if you have a conventional mortgage and you move it into an LLC, what if you want to refinance those high interest rates down to a lower rate in the future? If you're in a state with a transfer tax, if you move that property out, and by the way, you have to because you cannot refinance a conventional loan in an LLC, when you go to move that property out to refinance, you could get hit with a tax, and then you'll get hit with the tax again when you move it back in. How do you avoid this? Remember, there's always consequences if your laws in your state provide for these real estate transfer taxes. That's when we talk about a land trust. Myth number nine. All asset protection strategies are the same. That's just not true. Your risks are not going to be the same risks as someone else's. The reality of it is you have a certain path, a certain life plan that you're taking, certain priorities that are important to you. You also have different risk mitigation strategies and risk tolerances. So it's really important that you customize an asset protection strategy that fits your needs. So I think about this. What about doctors? What about celebrities? What about people that are in the public spotlight? They're concerned not just about rental property liability, they're worried about being sued personally for some type of negligence or action against them by a bad actor. They have certain needs that need to be met different than the general public. Rental property owners are at different risks than people who invest only in the stock market. You have to label each and every asset. Does most of your net worth rest in high-risk assets, low-risk assets, or no-risk assets? Based upon your risk level will determine how much asset protection you need. Myth number 10, asset protection is too expensive. Sometimes this is the wrong way to look at it. It's not, can I afford to do it? Sometimes it's, can I afford not to do it? Think about this. For every time you choose to take some of your hard-earned disposable income and move it into a high-risk asset like a short-term rental, a long-term rental, or maybe a multifamily unit, if you're getting into rental real estate, you are putting yourself as a bigger target and at a higher risk for a potential lawsuit. If you're going to invest and take the risk of making those type of measures and investments in your future, don't you owe it to yourself to actually make the investment of protecting those assets from unscrupulous lawyers and bad actors, especially with short-term rentals, from coming in and trying to actually hold you back in your investing and take away those assets from you? In fact, it's way cheaper to set up an asset protection structure than it ever is to defend yourself in court in litigation. I can tell you right now, when you move forward with asset protection, many times it makes you a smaller target, it makes you a very unattractive target, and you make it easier for the attorney to hit the easy button when it comes to taking an insurance settlement. On the other hand, if you get drawn in personally into a lawsuit because of a negligence action against you, what's going to happen? Now you're held up in court. Now you're unable to continue your investing journey. And it's possible some of your personal assets could end up being at risk. Finally, don't forget, when you're dealing with someone that knows what they're doing, there's always a good, better, and best approach for asset protection. There are always low-cost alternatives that can begin to get you on the path of making sure your assets are protected.